Willie Doo has prepared an epic show this afternoon. He says these are the hottest topics. I believe him because he's delivered on so many occasions. I don't see why today would be any different.
Yeah.
Samsung Galaxy S22 European price leak suggests a base Ultra model with less RAM. That's a very specific lead story. I didn't even know if they were going to keep the Ultra name because this whole Note discussion going on. Like, is the Ultra a Note or is the Note an Ultra? You see how that goes well?
Yeah, because there's going to be a pen.
Yeah, can it be an Ultra with a pen? Is it an Ultra Note or is Note dead, the naming, and Ultra just comes with a pen? And there is no Note anymore. I don't know what they're going to do. But so this leak here is suggesting a base S22 Ultra that would cost the same as the S21 Ultra, but have less RAM than the S21 Ultra. Ooh, we're deep in it now. Deep in the smartphone game. You start talking about spec sheets like that in advance. So this comes from Roland Quant, R Quant on Twitter. Whoever said S22 series was to be cheaper didn't think of COVID, parts shortages, and inflation. Here are the actual official Euro prices. S22, 8 gigs RAM, 128. That's your entry-level S22 at $849. Again, Euro prices. Take that into consideration. So I guess it's 849 euros, actually. Then there's the same model, 8 gigs RAM, 256 storage at $899. There's a plus model in between, and then you get all the way up to the Ultra. $1,249 to get into it, and $1,449 for the maxed out S22 Ultra, 12 gigs RAM, 512 gigs of storage. Quite a bit of storage there. $1,449 euro. That is, well, that's a couple of bucks for a smartphone, 2022.
That's a lot.
Gets up there. But they are right. There is that one Ultra model, which for whatever reason, in order to keep that cost down, it doesn't have the 12 gigs of RAM, which seems a bit odd if you're going to call it an Ultra. Also, this the way that these prices are being posted, it sure sounds like it's going to be called the Ultra at this point. You can pre-order a Galaxy S22 device before it's even announced at Samsung's February Unpacked event, which will give you a $50 credit towards your purchase. Android Police points out U.S. pricing information for the devices leaked earlier this month with a base S22, allegedly starting at $899. That's dollars, not euros. Plus going at $1099 and Ultra at $1299. So that would mean a $100 price increase across the board. Of course, we don't know necessarily where those models will be made available. So like the 8 gig RAM model might be Europe only, or it might be a certain region. Like it's impossible to know. But yeah, you can reserve these things, I guess, right now. Apple is preparing its widest array of new products for this fall. Our best ever. It's like when they say, iPhone 13 is our best iPhone ever. It's like, wait a sec. Doesn't it have to be? Like, what do we need to discuss that for? I mean, it seems pretty obvious. It would be the best version of the one you've ever made. I mean, we'd have a real problem if it was worse.
Yeah.
iPhone 13, our second best iPhone ever. So wait a second. Which way did you go with it? That'd be a really interesting reverse psychology. I'm like, I need it. It's the second best ever.
Yeah.
You need to own one of those. By the way, look in the corner there. Did you see the new Bronco Raptor?
That's one of the stories.
Oh, okay. I'm going to stay away from it for now. So, it's a little foreshadowing for the future.
Yeah, we'll talk about it.
Later this year, we'll reportedly see the iPhone 14, new iPads, updated MacBooks, and more. Well, is that different than usual? I mean, that's what they've been doing.
Yes.
Apple is reportedly working on different products for this fall, and a Sunday report from Bloomberg's Mark Gurman adds that the launch may include the widest array of new hardware products in it. I guess it has been slowly expanding and growing. New iPad, iPad Pro, low-end MacBook Pro, Mac Pro, iMac, redesigned MacBook Air, second-generation AirPods Pro, three Apple Watches, Series 8 SE, and rugged version. That's interesting. And four new iPhones. The latter includes the iPhone 14, 14 Pro, 14 Pro Max, and 5G iPhone SE. That's quite a few products.
Yeah. So I guess this is why this is, you know, such a big announcement, is because they're going to announce it probably in one event. I guess in the fall. Or well, maybe multiple events.
I don't think that's
going to
be one event, man. That'd be one. That would be a legendary event. They usually split them up a little bit, don't they? They usually don't have to talk about MacBooks and iPhones at the same time.
September for sure. And maybe in October, November.
Who are you, Will?
Right? I'm speculating. I'm Mark Gurman here.
Are you Mark Gurman?
Will Gurman.
You're just putting dates down. You're like September 22. We're going to do this.
22.
October 14. We're going to come back and we're going to do this over here.
But if they even have like two events they have the iPad, MacBook Pro, Mac Pro, iMac, Apple Watches.
Let them know. Let them know.
And the iPhones. That's a lot.
Let them know.
That's a lot for the fall.
Let them know. Let them know.
Yeah.
All right. Which one of those
are you? That's a buffet.
Which one of those are you going to get, by the way? What's on your radar out of all those items?
You know what? I'm looking to get a new MacBook.
Let's go. Yeah. Which one do you need? Which MacBook are you getting?
The best one.
Really? So 15-inch? MacBook Pro? Because it says low-end MacBook Pro is what it's saying they're going to announce. You want the low-end?
No, right here, the MacBook Pro.
Yeah, low-end.
Oh, low-end. Oh, no, I don't want that one. Can I return it already? Yeah. I forgot the low-end here. It was hidden. Maybe a Mac Pro.
Okay, all right. What
designated spot at my place.
Wow, look at you, man. Jeez.
That would be great.
This took a real turn. Hey, scroll down a little bit. iPhone 14 specifically rumored to sport a new design notchless display. Oh, yeah, we heard about this. A pill or hole punch front camera. Touch ID, that would be nice. Mm-hmm. Durable titanium body. Okay, let's get that. Yeah, I mean, that's all the wish list right there. I'll take a titanium notchless Touch ID under the display iPhone. That's what I'll take. Today's sponsor, DoorDash, restaurants and more. I encountered some new restaurant on DoorDash. Actually, you can get like a bunch of things from one place. And one of the items I could get was empanadas. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
I even brought one for you.
Yes. You had three flavors.
Three flavors of empanadas. Mm-hmm. It was a great time. It was a bonding experience. I think Mo had an empanada. And this is the type of thing that happens when you're on DoorDash. You discover wonderful meals and they're delivered right to you. There's also a pickup mode, which I use frequently. Sometimes it's more convenient to do a little bit of a pickup.
That sounds like DoorDash. That's very pleasant.
Really, if DoorDash had a theme, it would be that ringtone?
Uh-huh.
Is that what you're suggesting?
Yes.
What is it? Chicken, burgers, pizza, bowls. And you can get the convenience stuff going on. That's important. I'm telling you, I used this the other day. We need a couple snacks. About to watch the new Bobby Fett. Okay. And we need a couple snacks. I think we got some chips and cheesies, couple things. I'm telling you, we did that.
Right.
You can order right from 7-Eleven, from the convenience store, whatever. They'll do it, man. DoorDash.
For a limited time, our listeners can get 25% off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code LULATER2021. That's 25% off and up to $10 in value and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code LULATER2021. Thank you to DoorDash.
Tesla Cybertruck prototype shown in detail in a new leaked walk-around video. Ooh, cool.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't seen a lot of Cybertruck stuff. Is this in the Texas facility over there? Are we just outside of Austin? Is that what? Whoa, look at this. Cybertruck Owners Club on YouTube and 592 subscribers. About to blow up.
Yeah, so it's a nice little walkthrough of, I guess, a prototype, but it looks pretty finished to me.
Well, but those rims seem off. I mean, is that what the rims is going to ship with? They don't really fit. Is that what it's going to ship
design?
With? Do you think they do?
He doesn't mention it in the video. But most of the talk is the windshield wiper.
He had to do it. Yeah, you had to have a windshield wiper. It's not the best looking thing, but how are you not going to have a windshield wiper? You have to have it.
Yeah. I think closer to the launch, I think the more and more I like it.
You know, the
vehicle? It has like a really nice sheen to it.
Oh, yeah, it looks great, nice, man.
Design.
Get used to it. Get used to it. Hey, humans can get used to anything. You see enough of these on the road, you're going to be like, ah, it's a Cybertruck.
I guess to see it in a video that is not like overproduced. It's not like in the middle of the road and it's not like picturesque.
The other new thing here is the mirrors. We're seeing the mirrors.
Yeah, the side mirrors.
Yeah. Right. So all the safety items, the wiper and the mirrors is the thing that you would leave off of your big unveiling because it looked so much more cyber without them. So it's definitely less cyber, but that is a honking wiper, ain't it?
It is, yeah.
Woo! Baby!
Probably proprietary, you think?
Oh, yeah. It's one of one right there. It's such an odd windshield shape, and it's a one singular wiper, unlike you would typically have two shorter ones. But yeah, I think the rims are kind of surprising to me, the wheels.
Yes.
People feel very strongly, by the way, about rim/wheel terminology.
Right.
You best get it straight.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Those are wheels right there.
They don't kind of go inside, which I think we were all really curious about. Because, I mean, Tesla doesn't really show the inside.
Mm-hmm. It also, this bed portion doesn't have the cover installed, although it was only really shown off with that retracting cover.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another interesting component. I'll really use it. The shape of it for me is quite practical because I use the bed all the time, but I could actually use a little more height, covered height in some sections to pile up hockey bags.
Yes.
If I got like a bunch of them.
Yeah.
And because what ends up happening is you're just squishing and jamming. You got no height to work with.
Uh-huh.
You can't stack. You're not stacking it unless you open the bed, in which case, well, I don't know if you saw the weather recently. You can't be real. You got to leave that cover kind of closed.
Yeah, you don't want to squish.
Let me tell you something else about retractable covers. They freeze up. So keep that in mind. If anyone's going to have this in a cold climate, they freeze up. So you want to, sometimes I got to pour hot water on my retractable cover just to melt the seam so I can shove it back. I don't know if they have a plan for that. Maybe there's like a heater. Maybe you could put a defroster on it or something.
Maybe.
Can we talk about these wheels though? Do you accept these wheels?
No. I mean, let's look at the mock-up here.
No, the mock-up had these big, huge, futuristic looking things. But I would say you could use that wheel, but should it be like a matte finish or something? The mock-up wheels look like the Warthog.
Yes.
The Halo, which is the original. I mean, he mentioned the inspiration, but look at it without the wiper and without the side mirrors. But what can I say?
Yeah, you need to.
You have to have those things.
Yeah, safety regulations things. And all that.
It doesn't have door handles though, and the mock-up did have door handles. So what's that about?
So they mentioned in this video that you can just tap your phone,
right,
and it would just unlock.
Right. So it just comes open a little bit, kind of like the Mustang Mach-E.
But I feel like they have to change that as well.
For safety?
For safety, yeah.
Oh, I'm sure there's a way to get out from the inside, if that's what you're wondering.
Yeah, but to get in from the inside, from the outside?
Out from the inside, in from the outside.
Yeah.
Talking about the jaws of life over here.
Yeah.
Don't go crashing your Cybertruck. Well, you can't get, I mean, the Cybertruck's indestructible anyway, Will.
Sure.
Yeah, as long as you're in there, you got no problems.
Okay.
Slam into anything. Mr. Beast reveals TikTok creator fund earnings as platform is slammed for monetization. Okay, so this started with Hank Green. Did we talk about it on this show?
We did not.
That was offline.
Yes.
That was off the air.
That was like a 4-hour conversation.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's hard to remember if we talked about it on here or not. But anyway, Hank Green made a video talking about TikTok's creator fund and how creators on TikTok are not really making a ton of money and how the model is different than what's happening on YouTube. And he's obviously a longtime YouTube user, so he's very familiar with the monetization system that exists on YouTube. So am I. So are all of us. Anyway, a bunch of other people chimed in after the video went out and they shared their TikTok earnings, which were also not much at all. And now I guess we got Mr. Beast piling on with his probably lack of earnings on TikTok, I would guess.
Can you guess how much?
Well, the other posts were in the hundreds, so I'd be surprised if he cracked 1,000. He has 32.6 million followers and 312 million likes, and he has some TikToks here with 44 million views. Wow, that's a lot. Views on that particular, but anyway, between 10 and 20 million on a lot of them.
Yeah.
Okay. So you want me to guess higher?
How many can you get, like, the money-wise, revenue?
Yeah, I know. You want me to guess higher because you're showing me the views to remind me that he gets a lot of views.
Sure. Yeah. What do you think?
So what did he show his earnings for? Forever? Since he started? Or, like, a month?
Let me see here.
Oh, you're going to give it away. I think I saw it.
25 million views in that time.
Yeah, okay, so since April of 2021, but that's SuperSaf that shared that.
Total. Yeah. So he shared it, SuperSaf,
yeah.
And then Mr. Beast replied.
So he selected the same period from April 2021?
I'm guessing, yeah, just to compare.
Or maybe ever, because a lot of people started similar times. I don't know. I'll say $2,000.
$2,000, okay. Well, he did a little bit better.
$14,000. Okay. Yeah, that's better. I mean, but you're right. He's getting a ton of views over there. So is he saying that's for the, I don't know.
Look,
I think
the content.
The time period really matters, but yeah, it's not a ton of money.
I'm guessing that. It's the same because he wants to compare it. You know, like.
I know, but some people were posting their lifetime earnings on the platform as well. Part of the trend was people posting their lifetime earnings, but
oh man, this ad is very
abrasive.
It's like half the page.
Anyway, I know people are watching this and they're like, well, $14,000, that's pretty good to make on the platform, but you got to understand, you're talking about tens of millions of views.
Mm-hmm.
The equivalent on YouTube would obviously be staggering.
Yes.
To talk about hundreds of millions of views on YouTube, the number would be a lot different, obviously. Mm-hmm. That's evidenced by people saying, I mean, SuperSaf said, okay, I made 100 British pounds and on 25 million views, for example. So it's an order of magnitude less payment. But here's the thing that when we were first talking about it, there's a bunch of great points made in Hank Green's video, but most of what it does is highlight how great of a job YouTube has done at essentially creating something that is unique in the industry with the monetization tools that exist and just the consistency, and it's not perfectly consistent, but the consistency of demand from advertisers to be on YouTube videos to begin with, to make the sales to begin with consistently, and then to have the revenue split as a floating amount relative to demand that shows up on your channel and you get a percentage of it. Like, it was innovative at the time. And surprisingly, it's still innovative today in the marketplace. And it has led to the incredible rapid creation of creators because creators now had a way to, at a very early stage, start to monetize, recognize progress, and continue to develop because they've had this revenue structure built into it, not having to build a business outside of it, not having to sell their own sponsorships, etc. But there is a big difference as far as what these platforms are. Now, I know YouTube recently introduced Shorts, and Shorts earnings appear to be a little bit better than TikTok, but ultimately on YouTube, you click videos. There's intent, a lot of intent. And often you'll sit through an ad because of the value that the video represents on the other side. Now, I'm not saying you can't have a TikTok that is gratifying to somebody, but you're swiping. You're swiping, and you're swiping a lot. And it's part of the thing that's addictive about the platform. The platform itself is the thing that you want to be on. And I don't use TikTok all that much, but you were saying to me, even once you see an ad, you can swipe it. And you do every time. Swipe it. So the premise is just a little bit different. And in order to see an ad, you might have to see 10 or 20 TikToks. I know it varies from person to person, but ultimately the value proposition is different. And so your threshold for working through an ad, and also the targeting of such ads, require a tremendous amount of data on a user that TikTok might not have the same access as other platforms like Instagram and YouTube, as far as being able to distinguish the right ad for the right person, which delivers better results for the advertiser, which keeps them coming back and spending more and bidding more, and ultimately you ending up with more. Now, I know Hank Green mostly focused on percentages, and he tried to kind of project what ByteDance's revenue might look like in scale comparatively, and the percentages of what he shared. And mostly his criticism was around the idea of a creator fund, which is a static amount of money.
Yeah, it's a fixed amount. And the more people that's on TikTok who's a creator, there's going to be less and less payment because of the amount of people and the fixed amount.
Yeah, it's not a percentage-based thing. So these are all valid points, but I mean, he came back and posted another video, kind of softening. TikTok is not going to Vine. Here's why. Anyway, like, I guess I didn't watch that video yet, but I presume he'll be talking about the fact that TikTok is okay and they'll figure it out. And TikTok is unique and it is all of these things. But you and I were talking about how having a great platform, being culturally relevant, it doesn't always necessarily align exactly with profit and revenue. Mm-hmm. Often it does, but sometimes plugging all those pieces in is tough. And you got to remember, YouTube's been at it for a really long time. But I think the proposition is quite a bit different.
Sure.
On the two platforms, at least for a lot of segments.
Yeah.
Here's that Bronco Raptor. First look, 2022 Ford Bronco Raptor. Does it live? I don't know. Did I cover? I could have said more on the TikTok thing, Will. I could have said more on it, but like I feel like you and I had a better conversation than the one we just did. But because we like wasted it all and spoke for hours about it, it does matter. The length of time matters. Watch time does matter as far as the advertising opportunity is concerned. That's all. That's all I wanted to say. That's it, Will.
Okay.
We're fine here.
I mean, yeah, we compared it also with Twitter.
Yeah, you know, we were talking about how Twitter has had monetization struggles as well. You can find different ways, but YouTube has been a master. YouTube has diversified money-making opportunities too through YouTube Premium, revenue sharing, through paid subscriptions for a lot of live content creators. It's a lot of ground to make up for newcomers on the business side, not just the view side. And a view is not created equal. You got a view for 30 seconds on YouTube. All views are not created equal. Facebook got in trouble in the past, or criticized at least by advertisers for having these 3-second views.
Yeah.
Right?
And there's inflation with views on TikTok.
Inflation how?
Meaning, like, with Hank, he talks about how Instagram Reels, he gets paid way more. But, you know, way less views.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, you know? It's obvious that on TikTok, the attractive thing for content creators is the view count. And the less attractive thing is the CPM associated with that view count. But, like, what if they changed the metric to satisfy advertisers and a view actually required a longer amount of time on one individual TikTok, so your view count could go down, but advertisers would be more satisfied with their placements? It's a fine line to it. What is a view? What do you think? Okay, if you had to say how much time is a view when you're not clicking on something, but you're swiping, so you have to go past it, how much time should be a view? 10 seconds, 3 seconds, 5 seconds, 30 seconds? It's a weird thing to land on. What constitutes a view?
Do you think it should be percentage-based, based on the length of the video? Or do you think it's all fixed? It should be like 10 seconds for every video.
If the video is 2 seconds,
like
you can't swipe faster than that. So you couldn't not watch it even if you didn't want to. So like what I'm saying is I want to be able to extract the evidence of a skip. And percentages might not let you do that because if you have a 10-second video, you're going to watch 50% of it just because that's the speed it takes to skip it. In an environment like TikTok where the input is the swipe instead of the click, which you either do or don't do, although YouTube's home feed now has the swipe or scroll going on.
Sure.
But I know YouTube, it's 30 seconds. So there's all kinds of content creators not capturing a view because someone is scrolling past it on the home feed and they stay there for 29 seconds. Now, on TikTok, on the other hand, 29 seconds, it could be an entire video.
Yes.
You might be 100% retention. And for a 5-minute video on YouTube or even a 1-minute video on YouTube, it's not a view. So it's very interesting and it's worth consideration the way, and I would like people in the comments to take their own crack at it. What is the minimum amount of time that something should constitute a view? Is it a percentage-based thing? Does that even work at the extremes, at the short extremes? Or is there just a bare minimum regardless? Do you need to capture 15 seconds of a person, of a person's life? Mm-hmm. Anyway, okay, now we're under the Bronco.
Sure.
I love this thing. This looks amazing. 2022 Bronco Raptor. I'm a Raptor owner, the F-150 Raptor. But they can Raptor anything as far as I'm concerned. Raptor.
Just put that sticker on it.
Yeah, Raptor it up because it just means... Typically,
just the best of the best.
Right? Yeah,
in terms of performance.
I mean, you're gonna have more off-road capability. You're gonna have more ground clearance. You're gonna have way more aggressive tires, obviously, shocks. All
they
that
have
stuff.
The is it the skid plate or something?
Yeah, yeah, you got the plate. They really want you to off-road in this thing. Look at it with the doors off. I mean, that is
very
so
cool.
It's very Jeep-like, but it almost looks even more capable than a Jeep. And look at the tires and the wheels look exactly the same as on my vehicle right now on an F-150. I don't know the specs, but if that's the case, then this thing's going to be able to go a lot of places. I mean, I'm sure it can. It's, this for a lot of people, I think is maybe even bigger than, or better than the truck because you have the shorter wheelbase, presumably. So you're even going to be able to go more places than the Raptor. How much power does it have? Oh, let's see here. You got to break it down for me because I saw the image, but I didn't read about it. Here's the big news. The 2022 Raptor comes one way with four doors, a removable hardtop, 37-inch tires, and a version of a 3-liter twin-turbo V6 found in the Explorer ST. And Ford promises it will deliver more than 400 horsepower. Incredible. Yeah, it's fine. It's got everything. Go back up just a little bit. Raptor treatment made 9.8 inches wider than the regular model. That probably has to do with the flares on the side. And 13.1 inches of ground clearance riding on BF Goodrich 37-inch KO2 all-terrain tires. Amazing. Yeah, we'll take it, Will.
What color would you get?
Oh, man. Well, of course, they got to show it off in that flashy orange. I would have to see what my options are.
Okay.
I will have to see what my options are. I don't think I would do something that flashy, but maybe like some type of flat gray or something like that.
Okay.
But cool. I mean, that's a fun $70,000 to start, right? As well. Did I say that already? That's a key. It's going to be
70,000.
Yeah, okay. It's going to be less money than if you get the pickup truck version of the Raptor. I think they do a Ford Ranger Raptor as well in certain parts of the world, but this one might be the coolest of all of them. I'll probably still just get the next version of the truck myself, but because just it's a little bit more space.
It's on sale summer 2022.
Very cool. Peloton takes another PR. Some people want us to say Peloton. Did you know that?
Did you?
Peloton.
I feel like you call it Peloton. No?
Peloton. Sometimes I speed it up and I say Peloton.
Right.
And then sometimes I give it a little more time and I say Peloton. Takes another PR hit after Billions character. Suffers a heart attack while riding
another
his bike.
Attack.
Okay, hang on, Will. Now, before you go any further, this is in the show. It's a fictional moment. See, we had the same thing with Sex and the City. Is this some sort of writer's conspiracy against Peloton? Everyone dies on the Peloton bikes in the shows?
I don't know. This seems like they're just kind of making fun of them at this
Good
point.
Good Lord. So it's low-hanging fruit. I guess it's become a meme. They're so popular that it's easy to take shots at it.
But you would think that Peloton would be like exercising with it would help you reduce the rate of a heart attack.
Of course it would be. I think there's something about the appeal. Like there's something about the widespread adoption of the product that you as a viewer could perceive a person going too hard on it, being out of shape. Like I think what they're trying to identify is the type of person who isn't actually in all that great a shape, but then gets on it and just goes balls to the wall.
Yeah, the extreme.
I mean, it happens like I play hockey in men's league and I was telling you, they have the defibrillator on the sideline. It'll be some guy, you know, who the type of character who's like living life most of the week, eating whatever they want, drinking a bunch of booze,
and then the couch.
And they get to the rink and they go 10x where they're at. Yeah. They just push it to, and then the heart. So it's probably a type of character they're trying to identify, like a guy who is kind of neglecting himself a lot of the time, but then trying to make up for it. But it's tough for the company. The company's already in trouble because they got all types of competition came out of nowhere. Well, not out of nowhere. I mean, they were doing so well. Obviously, they got competition.
Yeah, it's not doing too well. They a lot of investors telling them, like, hey, you need to fire the CEO.
Wow.
Because
you need to
I think this is the Sex and the City drop.
You need to take out all the writers that keep on putting this negative fictional stories that are impacting us. Yeah, but they're down for real reasons as well, not just fictional. There's a lot more competition, and they got an expensive product. And I think there was the internal memo that leaked that showcased how they had all this inventory because, and they were citing, you know, COVID as well as like people not wanting to spend as much money.
It's like halting production.
They were halting production. So, I mean, also stuff is starting to open back up. People might take the option of going to the gym, which wasn't really an option for many years. So they may have gone this direction, but it is funny to read about these fictional stories that have an impact in the real world. But I guess that's, can't help it.
Yeah.
Meta has built an AI supercomputer. It says will be the world's fastest by the end of 2022. Ooh, Meta, Zuckerberg. Designed to train the next generation of machine learning systems. Look at that room. There's your future right there, Will. That's it. You want to know what the future looks like? That's it. Right there.
I would like the sound of it. The low hum.
That's a Facebook data center. So I don't know who holds the title for most powerful AI supercomputer, but they're going for it. They say it's the new AI research supercluster, or RSC supercluster, is already among the fastest machines of its type. And when complete in mid-2022, it'll be the world's fastest. Meta has developed what we believe is the world's fastest AI computer, said Zuckerberg in a statement. We're calling it RSC. Yeah, rivals like Microsoft and NVIDIA are also doing AI supercomputers. They're going to use this to train a range of systems across Meta's businesses, from content moderation algorithms used to detect hate speech on Facebook and Instagram to augmented reality features that will one day be available in the company's future AR hardware. Yeah, I mean, they're going deep diving. They changed the name of the company to Meta so that you best start building AI supercomputers to deal with that agenda. Because everybody's going to be hooked up and hooked in. We already know Zuckerberg's vision, right?
He's going to be living in your metaverse.
You can't get him out.
Yeah. He's going to be the final boss. And
But he's unbeatable. You can't beat him. It's his metaverse. Your metaverse is his metaverse. You know what I mean? You try to go to sleep at night. Why am I back in the metaverse? I thought I took it. It's back on. Why is Zuckerberg in my bed? Who let him in? Who let him in?
He's tucked in.
Yeah, in your meta bed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? What are you going to do? They got people trying to escape their meta life.
Yeah.
Can't escape. You don't want to. You're not trying to share.
Zuck in my bed?
He might be a good sleepover partner. You know what I mean? He might bring a sleeping bag and you might roast marshmallows.
He has another Zuck and then he sandwiches you.
Oh, now you're getting carried away.
That's right. My nightmare, by the way.
Is to be in between two Zuckerbergs. Yeah. All right, okay. Well, I'm glad we figured that out on this episode. El Salvador's president adopts McDonald's uniform for Twitter profile after Bitcoin plunge. What? What a headline.
Yeah, that he's just having fun with it.
A little bit of everything in that headline. El Salvador's president, he's the young guy?
He's 40 years old.
He's the young president.
And he looks it.
Yeah. Well, he looks better than that, actually. Looks younger than
us. He looks like he's going to Coachella or something.
Yeah, he's a DJ. he's hosting a party here. Well, anyway, they went with the young guy. And so he's having fun on social media like a young guy would. New profile pic. He has a McDonald's uniform, but it's like poorly photoshopped, obviously on purpose. And what is the message here?
Just kind of saying like the country's broke and now he's working at McDonald's.
Oh my God.
That's how I interpret it.
What? Yeah. The president can't be saying that. Get out of here. Is he memeing? What's going on?
He is memeing.
So he's just joking around?
Yes.
And they like the president to joke around about being broke?
No.
Oh.
No, no. The people there are not happy
about
the situation.
Well, it does have 129,000 likes.
Yeah.
This is a reference to an internet meme where, because he's been betting on crypto.
I understand now.
So he's saying he lost so much money in the bear crypto market that he's going to work at McDonald's.
Yes.
But I guess it doesn't necessarily mean that the country is broke. El Salvador has been buying because the country has been buying Bitcoin. I forgot.
Oh.
Not just him.
I should have summarized it for you.
Not just him.
Instead of you guessing.
The country has been buying. I recall the story.
He's using the country's money to invest in Bitcoin.
Yes. It's not his own. If it was his own personal money, I'd be like, okay, it's kind of a funny joke.
And he's really open about it. Like, oh, I just bought, 20 Bitcoin today and tweets about it.
El Salvador has been buying Bitcoin and uniquely has adopted it as legal tender. CoinDesk reports the country now holds over 1,500 Bitcoin, which is worth $53 million in fiat. Financial markets have not been impressed since El Salvador adopted Bitcoin as legal tender. Its five-year credit default swaps have surged to 18.12.81. Okay, so it's not the most popular decision, but he is still memeing and having fun with it. And I presume that you've got a vote there. You have a democracy there. Mm-hmm. So if they stop liking the memes, then they could obviously change directions. That's how that goes, right?
Yeah.
Rare black diamond from outer space goes on sale, but can only be bought with crypto. Of course. Of course. How else could you buy such a thing? The Enigma. A 555.55 carat diamond, heavier than both the Great Star of Africa and the Golden Jubilee. Those sound like very famous stones that we're unaware of because we're just not, maybe you're aware of it. Maybe you're in the market for these things, but
yeah,
me less so. Anyway, it's a big black diamond. The Enigma.
Hold on here.
Oh, you're going to give us a better picture? What are you going to do? Oh, yeah, it's huge. Look at it. Imagine pulling that out of the earth.
That's cool.
Would you even know what you were interacting with?
It was from a meteorite that fell into Earth and then they mined it.
Yeah.
So it's a space rock.
Yeah. But like if I handed this to you, would you know that it was one of the most valuable things ever? Or would you just be like,
Of course.
No, you wouldn't, man.
I'll sell it right away.
So what's it worth?
555 carats. Now, they don't know.
6.8 million. Expects it to sell for as much as 6.8 million. It's extremely rare. It's going to go to auction. Of course, Sotheby's is involved. That's happening in February in London after being exhibited in both Dubai and Los Angeles. Black diamonds, also known as carbonado diamonds, can be dated to between 2.6 and 3.8 billion years ago.
Are you happy about this diamond here? Do you like the look of it?
Well,
would you rather
interesting
have
the way they're marketing it here. I just don't, what do you do with, I mean, you display it? You just put it in a case or does it even, does it get stored somewhere safe?
I don't think you're going to cut it.
No, of course
into
not.
Into like a ring or something.
Of course not.
Yeah, you would just have to display it.
Yeah, it's an interesting,
but it doesn't refract.
Well, here's the thing, though. If you have something that's that valuable, you're not, and that rare, I should say, you're not that worried about the value going down too much. So in that sense, there are way worse investments than that. So long as people are still willing to pay it for it.
Yeah, you can definitely HODL it.
As long as the market doesn't crash. Are you bringing HODL in here now?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's rare. That determines everything, doesn't it? A market for the thing and then a certain amount of rarity and then you're all set. You're off to the races. You're ready to go. Mm-hmm. We'll have to check out the exhibit in Dubai real quick. Sure. Decide if we want to bid or not.
Yeah.
New device lets people who are blind see in infrared. Gives you vision in complete darkness?
Uh-huh.
That's pretty cool, Will. Break it down for me. What do you got?
So it was invented by Manuel Zahn. And
that's a guy's name, because
Armagon.
Because he sounds like a villain in a Marvel movie or something.
Hey man,
Manuel Zahn. Isn't there doesn't Superman have a guy that he fights? General Zod.
Yeah. But they were researchers at a German university, and they decided to create this prototype, 3D printed the frame of it, and is able to see in infrared. That's kind of cool.
It's definitely cool, especially for the visually impaired.
Mm-hmm.
In testing, volunteers enjoyed as much as 98% accuracy while navigating planned obstacle pathways. All five participants were able to complete the obstacle route in the first run. After three runs, they all showed improvement and got faster over time. Mm-hmm. Zahn and Kahn's paper frequently use Microsoft Kinect, a motion detection system that adds additional feature to Xbox as a point of reference. Both are confident their camera and setup will be smaller, less conspicuous, and cheaper to build than a Kinect.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Cheaper to build a Kinect doesn't even cost that much. So they're saying it'll be accessible to a lot of people.
Yeah.
Because
and if
of
you
that.
Can 3D print the frame, mm-hmm. then you could just slot it in and you could just wear it.
Cool.
I'm guessing that's what it would look like if...
That seems ambitious. That's through. Very detailed.
Yeah. But apparently this is for meant to see like long objects, like from far away.
Hmm.
So you can see the whole environment, but probably not as clear as this.
Yeah, that looks really good.
But pretty neat idea and also looks really cool.
Futuristic. So, yeah. I don't want a 3D printer. The thing looks a little sharp. I want a type of very comfortable headset for that.
Yeah, if you're doing an obstacle course as well.
No, I mean when you're going cyborg or whatever, you're trying to get your upgrades.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying? Right. You know what I'm saying? Like in the video game, you get the headset and
you can send it down, I guess.
One of my upgrades.
Okay.
You wouldn't upgrade? You don't want to upgrade your vision? You don't want night vision?
Yeah, I would.
Okay, yeah. All it's right. A little bonus, man.
All right, cool.
Getting all upset over there.
All right, last one.
Michigan woman checks spam folder and learns she won the lottery. What? Who checks the spam folder? She does. Laura Spears, 55, has now added the lottery to her safe senders list.
Mm-hmm. Just in case she wins again.
Oh my God. Can you imagine? You miss out on the lottery because it's in the spam folder. Like, I think it's check your spam. Imagine. Yeah. If that's happening, then how many people have already lost the jackpot because they didn't check their spam?
$100 trillion are lost
because
every
it
year.
Would have to be labeled in advance so many times that Google or Gmail or whatever is just like, oh, no one's reading this crap. Mm-hmm. Let's put that sender in spam. Also, probably the lottery has been sending a bunch of crap that isn't winning emails that have contributed to such things. So how much money was it?
It was $3
million. $3
million
in the spam folder?
Yeah.
She almost has enough to buy that diamond over there.
Sure, like
$6 million, you know.
She would have to register to get ETH, though.
It's all still so shocking to me that I really won $3 million. In fact, she won $1 million on her original ticket, but had to pay another one to add a megaplier.
Yes.
That's like a multiplier?
Yes. Yeah, I think it's like five times.
She will share her winnings with family members. She also said she had added the Michigan lottery to my safe senders list just in case I ever get lucky enough to receive another email about a huge prize. The lottery operator was keen to emphasize that a huge prize is now on offer in the Mega Millions draw. I see. So they're trying to say you can win just like her. Just check your spam folder. I mean, it's every time somebody tells me, I'm like, I don't see your email. They're like, did you check the spam folder? You're like,
every time.
You're like, there's no way it's in there, right? That's your initial thought on this always.
And it's usually 100% it's not in there.
I know. But in this case, That's exactly where it was.
Yeah.
Just a cool 3 million sitting in the spam folder.
Nice.
You could have worse days than that. That's for certain.